like to turn your attention to Ezekiel 37. Verse number 3, God says to the prophet, he says, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. I don't think he displayed a lot of faith. Kind of dodged the question. God, you know. Of course he does. He knows everything. Amen. But can they? I'm laying a foundation. If you go to Psalms 104, verse number 13. He watereth the hills from his chambers. He did that this afternoon. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and herbs for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. Except a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it can't bring forth anything. Amen. Daniel, the 12th chapter. Verse number 3, it says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Verse number 2 says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Glory to God. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the provision in our life. We ask, God, that you continue to keep your hand of blessing on your people. We're grateful to be here. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you'll now go to the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, it's called the Resurrection chapter, starting in verse 35. Paul saying, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Did you ever ask yourself that? What's going to happen? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest, thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness and raised in power. It is sown a natural body and raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. And then verse 51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. That word mystery is a secret. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Amen. Someday, we're going to get a different body. Amen. Don't lose out on the new body. And you could in the last hours, you see. About a year ago, I was in a hospice room with my sister. She was dying. I knelt over her bed and grabbed her hand, and I comforted her with some of these words about, this isn't the end, this is the beginning. You're going to get a brand new body. This body is worn out, this body is sick, but there's a hope beyond this life. The door to life is the birth for 70, 80, 90, maybe even 100 years. But death is a door to a brand new life that is forevermore. Amen. This has been probably one of the best summers that I can remember. Our yard is looking better than I've ever seen it. In every service, I walk over to that door over there and I look at those bushes, the Rose of Sharon. God says in Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and 1, that he is the Rose of Sharon. It is one of the most beautiful flowers I've ever seen. But it was just a few months ago, there wasn't any leaves. There weren't the beautiful flowers that are there. And it seemed like there just wasn't going to ever be any life. Some of you have come to me and cried and said, did you see the bush? It's dead and it won't come back again. No, you realize that there is a process that one day it will be alive again. It will bloom. It's God's way of changing something that was dead to something that is alive. This is a season for new life. Now, I'm not shocked that there's a new life in the Rose of Sharon, because I've seen it happen over and over again. It's not faith anymore. I have experienced it, and it doesn't take much faith to believe that it's going to come back, because of all of the years I've seen it happen, it's the law of harvest. Nobody thinks that the things that die in the wintertime are dead forever. They know there's another season that's coming. God said to Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? Have you been praying for your children? Have you been praying for your parents? Have you been praying for relatives? They may look like they're dead as a doornail. No growth at all. But the fertilizer that brings them back is prayer. When we take them to God, all of a sudden there's a bud. There's some new growth. You never know. How many of us have seen people completely changed after being filled with the Holy Ghost, never ever thinking that they would serve God? But the Holy Ghost makes such a difference. Habits seem to be impossible to be delivered from, and all of a sudden there's no withdrawals, there's no 12-step program, and all of a sudden all of those habits are gone. Families completely restored. Atheists are worshiping God at the altar. A miracle. Something that was dead now becomes alive. Church, can those bones live? Amen. We can't give up. I'm standing before you tonight someone who was dead as dead could be, and someone invested some prayer and some fasting, and all of a sudden something changed inside of me. There was a life that stirred. You see, once you see results of teaching the Word of God, it's exciting to plant more seed because you know it's certified. Once you see the results of your prayers and your fasting, it won't be such a struggle in order to pray or fast for something because you know there's new life. And God is saying, do you think they can be saved? Psalms 126 and 6 says this, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed or the word, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So it works. There isn't anything that is more effective in church than teaching somebody a home Bible study. There's always a harvest that comes after the 10 or 12 weeks of teaching. Even though they may come in with their arms folded, there's something about hearing the Word of God that brings new life. There's buds that happen, and before you know it, there's a blossom of the Holy Ghost in their life. I've seen people come to truth years after being taught a Bible study. It's just a longer winter for some people before they come to truth. Amen. A few weeks ago, the Jassos were here. They're so involved in a church down in Florida, but they were kind of in and out. I taught them full home Bible studies, thinking, are they ever going to get it? And then all of a sudden, things happen. The seed is certified. It will never die in the ground it is planted. You know, a farmer has enough faith to put thousands of dollars into the ground in seed every spring, knowing that there's going to be a harvest. Because last year and the year before, if we had that mindset of, I know that there's going to be a harvest, if I simply teach someone the Word of God, there will be life. Glory to God. If you'll turn to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I've sent it. How many believe that? You know, I sat in that first Bible study thinking, you know what, I know all this stuff. I went to a parochial school. I've heard all the stories. You're not going to tell me anything that I don't already know. But there was something about that word that got a hold of me. Something I didn't want to be a part of. And within a couple of weeks, I remember after the Bible studies, laying in bed with my wife, reading the Word of God. That was not me. That was something that got a hold of me, you see. There are people who I met that were already in the church saying, there's no sense in witnessing to them because they'll never... You underestimate the value of the Word of God being taught, you see. Glory to God. God told Jeremiah as he was preaching the Word of God, just preach it. Don't worry about the results. I'll take care of the results. You do the preaching. In fact, even if they tell you that they don't see it, they aren't interested, just leave me alone. Be patient because the seed is still going to work somehow, some way. Amen. There is a blossom in that ground that wants to spring forth in its time. 1 Corinthians 15 and 35 in a New International Version says this, but someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else, but God gives it a body as he has determined. So when we die, we're not going to be resurrected the same way that we lived. Otherwise, we'd only get another 50, 60, 70 years. As we get closer to the coming of the Lord, we need to think about what's going to happen in our lives. What will we be at the resurrection? Not what we are or the process of dying to self. I've done so many funerals over the years of saints, and it's not a burial, it's a planting service, if you will. It's not a grave marker, it's a beginning marker, you see. Not a resting place, but a transformation place. It's where the transformation happens. Amen. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to go there. You see, there's a door. Amen. We shouldn't be frightened of these things. We should be excited about what's going to happen. Most people do everything they can in order to avoid death, death of the physical, but also death of the fleshly nature. We don't want to die. Yet God tells us we must die in order to live. Take up your cross daily. Amen. And then there's more life in the spirit as we die in the flesh. When a saint dies, it is a time for trust. When a seed is planted, the outer wrapper decomposes, so our fleshly body decomposes, but like the seed sprouts new life, so our body will blossom into a brand new body. Amen. Consequently, we that are dead to sin and self have the seed of life to be transformed at the rapture, you see. You can't go to heaven unless you die first. I'm not talking about just the physical death, but the natural death. Lord, repentance is just dying. That's all it is. And if we will die to the flesh, God gives us new life here on earth. So the more we submit to God's word, the more we die to our wants and aspire to do what God wants, the more life we have in the spirit. I've been on this diet now for 76 years. My mother struggled, my father struggled, my sister struggled, and for all my life I've struggled with pushing back food. Have you ever noticed that the first three letters of diet is die? Yeah. I have to die in order to get my new body. You have to, just have to. I don't think much about the old, hard to fit into my clothes guy, but the new improved, you know. I'm starting to think about the new improved, glorious body more and more as I get older, you see. But the first diet is a thing that causes us to transform from natural to spirit. How many like desserts here? Nobody, that's good. We might as well cancel this ice cream thing. Don't you just love it when the cook says, as soon as you're done with the main course, I have a surprise for you. God says something like that. As soon as you're finished with this body, I have a surprise for you. Amen. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 15 and 37 says, we can't envision the new body by looking at the old body. Amen. You can't imagine how glorious it's going to be when we take on the new body that God has for each of us. The brown bulbs that I planted, they just don't look anything like the bearded iris that comes up in the springtime. You put that ugly thing in the ground, and all of a sudden, something beautiful came out of it. Amen. We may not be able to envision our new body, but we are going to love it. Paul says our bodies will be transformed in three different ways. Amen. Corruption will put on incorruption. Dishonor will put on glory. Weakness will put on power. Amen. What I said to my sister is, now get ready. I know you're in the process of dying. They don't give you much time. I think she had maybe 2 days before she passed away. But I said, within seconds. You see, you fall asleep, and 8 hours later, you wake up and you don't realize all that time is gone. Paul died, and just like that, he'll be in the rapture of the church because time is no more. The Bible says the dead know not anything. The only one who ascends into heaven is he who descended from heaven, according to John 3 and 13. So we're all waiting after we die for a second, if you will. There's not a, boy, I wonder how long I'm going to be in this grave, you know? Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, verse number 13. Paul's saying to the church at Thessalonica, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. He's talking about those people who have died who are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others who have no hope. Well, if somebody's sleeping, why are you sorrowing for them? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. How is that going to happen? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There isn't anything that's more comforting knowing that we have everlasting life, that these bodies will wear out, but there's a transition. So if you go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter again, starting in verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, and then what? It's raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor and is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body and it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, you might want to pinch yourself, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Amen. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, 1/40th of a second, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That word victory in the Greek is the word Nike. Just do it. You know? That's their slogan, you know? Victory. Glory to God. Turn to Philippians, 3rd chapter, verse 20. Philippians 3 and 20, it says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what is he going to do? Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So, he's going to change this mortal body into immortality, a spiritual body, just like his spiritual body. Psalms 17. Verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy kindness, likeness. So, except for the rapture, we're all going to fall asleep and we'll awaken in his likeness. And then 1 John, 3rd chapter, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. For one, I'm looking forward to the change. Yeah. Now, you can be living for God all of these years, and that the very end of the race, you could forfeit your new body. That'd be a foolish thing to do. Take a look at 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Some of us are experiencing this right now. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. the new body. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Amen. So, we're comfortable because this is all we know. But John said, come quickly, Lord Jesus. They say that Paul ran to the chopping block because not too long before that, he had a glimpse of heaven that he couldn't even describe. You see, amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51, again it says, behold, I show you a mystery or a secret. We shall not all sleep, but will be changed. Our bodies will be changed, but we will not receive a different body. What does that mean? We will receive a renewed body. Now, some of you might not be happy with your body. Get over it. God gave it to you. You know, glory to God. Well, I wish my nose was, I wish I had more hair, I wish, you know. Get over it, because you're going to keep it for eternity. Do you think we're going to be so, what's the word, vain, that when we get to heaven, we're going to worry about what we look like? What God is saying is, I'm going to be able to recognize you, and you're going to be able to recognize me. Why? Because after Jesus was resurrected, they saw him and they recognized him. He didn't change in his body. The only way God can do that is if the old one has to die. Die to self. Would you like a sneak preview of our new bodies? We have one that gives us the prototype. If we look at the resurrection of the body of Jesus, he spent 40 days in the presence of people, and they fellowshiped with him, knew him by sight, a body that was touchable, a body that was visible, a body that had flesh and bone. He could eat. He could, thank God, he could eat. No more dying for me. And he could fellowship. And Jesus said in Luke 24 and 39, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. We will recognize each other, handle me, and see, for the Spirit hath not flesh and bone, yet I have. So we're going to have a body likened unto his glorious body. Jesus ate breakfast with his disciples. Diets will be outlawed. We will walk through walls. Jesus walked through walls. We are going to be able to walk through walls. We will not need first-class plane tickets, because we can appear at will wherever we want. No more dying. The Bible says we're going to be judging angels. No need for Kleenex, no need for handkerchiefs, no need for canes, no need for walkers, no need for hearing aids, no need for glasses. Amen. Glorious bodies. No need for vitamins, no need for doctor's appointments. Hallelujah. Anybody want to go now? Hallelujah. That which was faulty will be fixed. Our bodies will be different, but we won't have a different body. God has a high regard for our bodies that he made. We are a canvas. He made you exactly the way he wanted you to look. Amen. And when we are dissatisfied with who we are, it's a reflection on God. Glory to God. There are too many people who go through life that are miserable because they don't think they should be the way they are, or they want to be like somebody else. It's just temporary, folks. God has a high regard, so we ought to respect it, but don't worship it. Don't worry about the wrinkles. Don't worry about the aging process. We have a brand new body coming just down the road. The Bible says in James that life is but a vapor, that it appears for a little while, and then it's gone. All this is a big dressing room for where we're going to spend eternity. It is the temple of God. Be careful how you feed it, use it, maintain it. You wouldn't want anyone to trash your house. Be careful with God's house, because we are the temple of God. It will last forever in one form or another. And I can't wait until the rapture, see my brand new body, and try it out. Glory to God. No, I'll never have a Ferrari. I'll never have a Rolls Royce. But I will have a body that will be the envy of the world. Amen. The Bible tells us that we're going to be raptured, and then we're coming back to the earth for 1,000 years, and there will be people that will be still on the face of the earth that will not have been raptured, and we will be their idols, if you will. You know, we'll be the Michael Jordans of the rapture, because there's a saint. Can you imagine? They can walk through walls. Nothing ever happens to them. That's what the Bible says. One day, glory to God. Amen.